Kerr's Hire. Local for 40 years.
It's the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast. Ripping you apart. Like something that gets ripped apart. Maybe West Coast last weekend after the Cats finished off their season in style with a demolition of West Coast, who started the game well and then absolutely decided that, I reckon, it caught a time that they'd had enough. And it was time to commence their Mad Monday celebrations.
They were thinking about Lammies.
Yes, they
because
were.
Because they knew that Lammies opened at 9 and was free entry before 10.
That's right.
They wanted to be there before 10.
And they wanted to conserve their energy in case anything exciting happened.
Yeah, a bit of dancing.
Right, in case Real Diamond came on.
Men of Leisure.
Yes. Or Kids in the Kitchen may have come on, or Pseudo Echo.
Kids in the Kitchen. What was it? Change in Mood. That was a good song.
So, I did see Kids in the Kitchen.
Did you?
Quite a few times down at the...
I see my kids in the kitchen all the time. They never leave. No, it's cost me an arm and a leg.
No, you usually see it. They're not called Kids in the Kitchen. They're called Arse Out of the Fridge. I did see them quite a few because they used to play with No Nonsense.
No Nonsense.
Yes, down at the for the blue light discos.
Right.
Yes, for the blue light down at the Belmont, where they have the Belmont Common there.
Yeah.
The
Barwon Valley Activity Centre.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I think that's what it was called.
I think
still
it's
is. Yeah, there's one at the crossroad from Kmart.
Down there.
Yep.
And he used to wear the pants that had like one side was one colour and the other side was another colour. Did you remember though? They were all the rage when I was back in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm a bit younger than you.
Yeah, so anyway, that was what used to happen. It was the first time that exciting thing started happening in my lifetime down there.
Right.
In about year 8.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, but Kids in the Kitchen and No Nonsense. There was a couple other bands too. Pseudo Echo played.
Machinations?
I don't know about the Machinations. Anyway, so it was good. They were the
days. Wah, what about Wah?
Yeah, Wah knee plate. Who was Scott Carnell? He was
Kids in the Kitchen.
Yeah. So anyway, Scott was. I think he might have been up on the wall.
We got good feedback for last week's show.
Did we?
Yeah, people saying best episode of the year. You didn't talk about the Cats.
No, well, there's only so much you can say about the Cats. They're in good form. I know that. 13, the old Baker's dozen
on the bounce.
On the dangle. I love being on the dangle. Only way to be, except, you know, when things come to a head, you don't sort of, want to get off the dangle, but...
it's like lurking.
The best place to lurk is inside forward 50 if you're going to do it. I finished off the season well. Injury to Guthrie, wasn't ideal. They're saying that he's going to be right to play.
So he trained today. I've been to open. So this is Wednesday afternoon. I went and watched a bit of open training. He had the yellow hat on, which means no contact. But that's still 10 days out. So, look, you could speculate about Geelong between now and next Saturday and get it completely wrong because so much can happen in 10 days.
But the thinking is that everybody will be available.
Mitch Duncan's the one I think they've still got some concern over.
Right. Mm. What's he got, a hip problem?
He's got a hip problem.
Is it a hip pointer?
I'm not sure exactly where on the hip.
Right. So he'd be... Well, I mean, I don't know. Can you look? Maybe I'm getting cocky.
Now, Jeremy Cameron last week, you were a little
The word out of the camp is that he was going to be touch and go. They are thinking that he will be right to go, but if there's any doubt whatsoever, they won't play him. Yep. So they'll back themselves into beat Collingwood.
He seemed fairly bullish. He was on K-Rock on Tuesday morning with Tom Lingy and Loggy, and he was fairly bullish about
playing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you were having a little nibble on it, you'd bet on him playing.
Yep.
But I'd hate to see them play him, hamstring goes, because that's season done.
Yeah.
From that point, barring miracle. But I think the way Geelong have set up, the way they've played.
Well, the only thing that could happen is if he did it again in a qualifying final, his best hope would be playing grand final day.
Yeah.
21 days later.
And that would be, having done it, done it again. And then if you did it in the first minute of the grand final and you're down a man, that wouldn't be ideal. But I know you have a sub coming in, but you're not going to replace Jeremy Cameron. No. So, everybody should be available. Cameron, I just think they can beat Collingwood even without Cameron. I know that might sound a bit cocky, but I think, I was talking to somebody last night, Kingy, and we were talking about the Pussycats. And I said, well, if Geelong play to anything over 92% of their capability,
they win.
I think they win.
Yeah.
The only way
Geelong are more talented than Collingwood,
and they're more seasoned. They have...
yeah, how are the likes of Ginnivan, Murphy, McCreary, Young Dacos?
Yeah, well, I don't think they're worried him. He's a freak, yeah.
But you've got some young blokes here that you haven't.
Have. Yeah,
that
100%.
Are, you know, and it's a bit different. 90,000 MCG, which I know last week they had 88,000 there for that. But remember, we haven't had finals on the MCG for 3 years.
No, they do get a leg up, those young Collingwood players, having played in those games throughout the year.
Yep.
88,000 for home and away. So, and the one thing about young players that have no fear is they've got nothing to lose. Mm. The Pies didn't expect to be top four.
No.
They're top four. They've got a free shot. If they happen to win and they're into a prelim, my God, if they don't win, expectation isn't for them to win.
No.
They go back and have a crack in the semi. And you wouldn't be surprised they went out in straight sets.
Yeah. But they
can be dangerous. If you let them get on, you let them get off the chain early, they young players can be really dangerous.
What did they kick in the third quarter against the Cats in round three, Benny?
I think they kicked eight goals. Eight or nine.
Yeah. It was the biggest quarter against the Cats.
And then they kicked 1 point in the last quarter, didn't they?
Geelong came from five down to win by 13 points.
Yeah.
That result's irrelevant, but it is an indication of when Collingwood get the game on their terms. It's probably one of only three times this year where Geelong have, when they haven't had the game on their terms,
St Kilda,
yeah, have been scored heavily against.
And Hawthorn?
Hawthorn didn't score heavily. Geelong just couldn't score. But there's been there was one other where
St Kilda and Collingwood are two.
Yeah, the ones that stick out. There was one other, I reckon they had seven or eight kicked against them in a quarter as well. I just can't remember who it was. But
was it Richmond?
Nah.
No, that was a pretty close game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I think if they play to their capabilities or play to their form, they win.
Yep.
The thing about Geelong is that, you know, it has been a theme at times, not all the time, but it has been a theme that they get to this point, perhaps not quite in the form that they are at the moment, but they get to this point and for whatever reason, they, you know, for want of a better term, shit the bed.
Yep.
And you usually can tell in the first 10 minutes. You know, there's a fumble or there's an easy goal or suddenly the structure that they've got. I hate that word. But, you know, the way that they've played suddenly goes out the window. Blokes are free. You know, you can usually tell within the first 10 minutes. I reckon the first 10 minutes is really crucial for both teams.
Yep.
First 15.
The other one was Port Adelaide, kicked eight goals in the third quarter.
Oh, that's right. And they came back.
So the biggest quarter Geelong conceded this year was they conceded 9 goals, 1. In the third quarter, Sydney got 7 on them in the second quarter in round two. But I reckon you'd dismiss those two, even though they're probably two opponents Geelong are going to play over the next month. And then, Port Adelaide kicked 8 goals in the third quarter to come from, what were they down? They came from, 30 odd points down to take the lead.
Yeah, and Geelong were able then to actually arrest the momentum at three quarter time going and win that game.
4 goals to 1.
Yeah, which was, I think most Cat fans thinking at three quarter time Geelong going to lose that game.
Mm.
But look, they've
which in the end wouldn't have meant anything. They still would have finished on top.
And they seem to be made of sterner stuff. But I really think that first quarter, particularly first 15 minutes, first quarter, is absolutely crucial in setting the tone for Geelong because they have occasionally, you know,
yep, fluffed their lines.
Yeah, had to have the sheets changed.
Yep.
And you've been able to tell really early that there needed to be a sheet changing.
Yep.
But I just think that with the experience they've got. And then they've got those guys like Stengel. I don't think it's going to worry Stengel.
No.
The stage. I don't think he worries about much, to be honest with you.
He's playing free and easy.
Yeah, he is, and that's how he is. I think that's his. I don't think he gets caught up in the footy hype. He goes out there and
he doesn't
plays his footy.
The players say they don't hear from him.
No,
he's just a footballer. He just turns up, plays footy.
He probably thinks he's around 13. You told him it's round 13. He goes, why is there so many people here?
Yeah.
So because they're having a motorcade at half time.
Yeah.
You go, okay then.
Yeah.
So I just don't think he's going to be overall because he's not a, I don't know, he's just, well, not that we know him, but he doesn't seem wired as if he's a real sort of
worry. He doesn't get wound up, no.
No. Myers has got some finals under his belt.
Yep.
Close has some finals under his belt.
Holmes has a couple.
Yeah, Holmes has a couple. They've got a star power that's got a zillion finals games under their belt, and Hawke and Selwood, Dangerfield,
Duncan,
Isaac Smith,
yeah.
Tui.
So Isaac Smith's played 24 finals.
Yeah, so they've got that, but then they've even their, what you would classify as their sort of second tier, some of them are probably closing in on 8 to 10 finals.
So Isaac Smith's an interesting one. He's played 24 finals. Up until the three last year the Cats played, he played 21 at Hawthorn. How many of those do you reckon were at the MCG?
19.
He had the two in 2015 where they had to go through.
Oh, and they won from 8 deep.
Yeah, they had to go from. They've lost to Freo, beat West Coast or vice versa.
Beat West Coast.
Yeah.
Which I think was a real turn up. West Coast went in to that game hot favourite.
In the prelim. Yeah. You called that. I reckon you went over and called that.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. So he's played. So he actually hasn't played a final on the MCG since 2018 because they missed the finals in 19. 20 was away, 21 he was at the Cats.
Yep.
So he spoke to the media today and he's pumped. He actually said he was swaying towards. Now, I think Cat fans would have been happy for Collingwood to lose to Carlton and get Fremantle in a qualifying final at the G, but he goes, I'd love Collingwood winning because.
Gives me 90,000.
90, yeah, that's what he said. He goes, 90,000 at the MCG.
Well, he embraces that.
Yeah, he loves it.
So Geelong are just
as long as he doesn't have a shot after the siren, Benny.
No, let's hope doesn't get to that, King, because if Geelong, I reckon, haven't been at their best if it comes down to a shot after the siren. But look, I don't think anything could have gone any better for Geelong in the home and away. I don't think anybody, bar the most optimistic Geelong supporter, would have predicted that they'd be two games clear on top, go in as the favourite for the premiership, have pretty much a full list to choose from, albeit with a few niggles maybe, but I think most sides are probably carrying some blokes with something. So it's up to them now to make good on what on the 22 or 23 weeks of hard work by elevating their game or maintaining the rage for another month. Now, can they do it? They seem well placed to. I don't think there'd be any excuses if they can't. And if they don't, I think from where they are now, it would be a major disappointment.
So since losing to the Bulldogs in round 9, which had the Pies at 4-5.
And Geelong 5-4.
And Geelong were 5-4 after losing to St Kilda. They've won 11 of their last 12. Or is that 12 of the last 13 for the Dogs? They'd played 9. It'd be 12 of their last 13. Here's a sample of their margins. 4-4-11-5-7-5-4-4-7-1.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, isn't
it? So they have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of those have been by 2 goals or less.
Yeah.
Or 11 points or less. So nine of them in single figures.
And I watched the game pretty closely on Sunday, and for two quarters, Carlton absolutely dominated them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They should have been further in front, the Blues.
Oh, they were absolutely all over them, and then for whatever reason, things went haywire in the final quarter. And Collingwood, to their credit, stuck in there.
Six behind.
Yeah. Do you think Jeremy Cameron would have won the Coleman if he played on Saturday?
Yep.
Friday, Saturday.
Yep.
I reckon he would have kicked six. I reckon he would have got over the top of Charlie.
So Charlie finished.
Which was disappointing.
Charlie finished with 64.
My account balance.
You're speaking through your wallet, eh?
Yep. I had Jeremy Cameron going for the GDP of a Bolivian nation.
Bolivia is a nation.
Yeah, I know.
You were going to say small African nation.
I was going to say something, but I probably need to. Anyway, it was disappointing that he did his hamstring. Because I reckon he might have bagged a sixer.
Well done, Charlie Curnow, though.
Yeah, he's had
considering a good where he's been with his footy over the
what
last.
What about the bloke who had two leg multi?
Yep.
And he must have had it at the start of the year. I didn't see the date on it, but it must have been the start of the year or very early in the year. He took Carlton to make the 8.
Yep.
At $3.20 into Charlie Curnow to win the Coleman at $111.
Oh wow!
He had them going for, I think the bet was 50. I remember seeing. I don't. The bet wasn't. It wasn't a large bet. It was a 50-odd dollar bet. Yeah. He had them going for. Carlton had they won on.
He was good for 50 grand.
17 grand.
Oh, 17 grand.
17 grand. He was going to win.
Yeah.
They've lost by a point, and they've led everywhere bar where they had the post up.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You want some questions, Benny?
Yeah. I'm absolutely. I love questions.
Catters 07. Kingy and Benny, knowing there has been outrage for the fact it's a twilight final and clashing with local footy finals, it would be most likely if Cats lose and Freo win, it would be another twilight game. This would allow Freo to get home Saturday night. Really would stuff local footy finals. See, once upon a time, nobody cared that AFL, VFL finals and AFL finals went up head-to-head with a...
That happened for years.
Yeah, it happened for years.
Ten past two.
Yeah.
They all started at 10 past
one,
two.
One of the great local footy stories is St Joseph's winning the GFL Premiership in 1989, and it was on the same day where God was producing a masterclass out at Waverley against Essendon in a preliminary final, and one of the great stories that came out of that day is Barry Stoneham
coming back
and Damien Burke going back to Geelong West Town Hall and
gassing until 5 o'clock in the morning and then getting up and playing in the grand final the following week.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
What if, so let's say St Mary's win the flag and in the GFL on the Saturday afternoon. The Cats win a prelim on a Saturday night. And Jack Henry heads back to St Mary's and just tips him into all
those, hours. Those days are gone, but that exactly did what happened, Kingy. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? Nobody frowned upon that.
No.
And even Baz thought it was good for his soul, I reckon. He probably went up and – he was a supreme athlete, Stoneham, though, so he was probably made it for an easier week for him.
This is not a mate. That's actually legitimately what happened. And it wasn't just those two. I think there was a bunch of Geelong boys went to that St Joseph's
and got right on it, on the source. As 6 days out from the granny.
And I did a little series of interviews for St Joseph's because they're 50 this year as a football club. And I did say to Barry, I said, if you had had two less pots, would that have been the 6-point difference the following week?
And did he agree with you?
He did. He said, yeah, maybe. My favourite Barry Stoneham moment is actually him with his hands in the air twirling after G. Ablett Sr. kicked the first goal of the grand final in 89. Yeah. On the line, if you watch it, you'd see B. Stoneham hand twirling. In the air, twirling the
he
finger.
He was before his time, Barry Stoneham. He would thrive in today's sort of footy.
Seriously good player.
A 1,500-metre runner.
Yep.
He moved like a gazelle. He played some really good footy, and I was there that day that his leg snapped into about 9,000 pieces when they put him in the ruck, at Princess Park.
Fitzroy.
And he was never the same again. He tried to get up and play a few weeks later, which was absolutely ridiculous. And I remember doing a story with him for Inside Footy and him saying that he regrets he tried to come back so quickly from that injury, did himself no favours. And he did come back and play, but he was never the same.
No, he was never. No.
Never the same player. And he was your sort of your Mark Blitzarves, albeit he'd come through playing football. He was, you know, now we tend to go for the athletes. Back then, they weren't the norm. And he was the athlete who had good footy smarts as well, but was just very athletic.
He played in a premiership for St Joseph's as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, he was a gun.
In GDFL Division 1, which was nowhere to hide in that day.
You know who used to tear apart regularly? It was difficult to tear him apart, but he used to tear Glenn Jakovich apart.
Yep.
He just couldn't.
Jakovich wasn't mobile
couldn't
enough.
Keep up with him, So, it was. He eked out a great career in the end, old Baz, but unfortunately, that injury when he went into the ruck, that in that ruck contest in the middle, was diabolical for his career.
And he tipped in some pots on.
He could refresh.
1989.
Yeah. He also, his nickname.
No, I don't.
Oh, it was one of them. He's probably got quite a few. There's Baz, and he's Donkey.
Right. Good. Right. Now, Benny. You are an imbecile. Now, Benny.
Yes.
Now, I have spoken to the Cats about their choice of. So they made the call to play at 4:35 on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few factors to this. It's a Geelong home game. Not that fact's any, but having the choice has a little bit to do with their membership base being a little bit older. So that's factoring in that playing at night is not great for people with the late finish.
Yeah.
So that's why they're playing at 4:35. Thursday and Friday, we know Geelong people don't travel to the MCG on a Thursday or Friday, do they?
No, generally not.
No. The Cats, what day have they predominantly
Saturday
played?
Saturday, for about the last 15 weeks.
Yeah. Basically, other than the Melbourne Thursday night.
They've been on a Saturday.
They've been basically on a Saturday. So it suits their how their.
Could they have played Thursday if they wanted to?
That was an option, I believe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it also gives players another couple of days.
Correct. Yeah, it pushes Cameron out to 21 days.
Tyler Jasny?
Yep.
Is he going to be available?
He will be. Yeah, because on that Thursday, I think
Guthrie?
Guthrie gives him two
Rowan?
More days.
What's wrong with Rowan?
He was okay. No, he was at training today. He moved fine.
Okay.
Yeah, he moved fine. I think he just got a
corky,
because
he wasn't moving that well after the game.
No, after the game. So there's a number of factors. And I spoke to Steve Hocking today. He said he was quite happy for me to relay what we'd spoken about and that they were the reasons. And look, it's not ideal for local footy, but look, people will still turn out to local footy finals.
Yeah.
You might lose some, but I don't know if it's as significant as some people are making it out.
No, you're probably right. And it's sold out anyway. So if you haven't got your ticket now, you're done.
Yeah. So, and look, they may look at bringing forward the Ballarine Grand Final by an hour. So people who can watch that Grand Final and get home to watch it on the TV. Look, it
probably makes sense to do that.
That's being discussed. It's not as simple as doing that. But, you know, we're trying to get the GFL second semi moved forward in 2 hours or to the reserves time so we can call that and then call the Cats. Whether that happens or not, we'll keep an ear out for all that. Cats of the future, we are usually pretty bad after a bye. This game is after a bye, which makes it hard. If we win, though, the next one will be for keeps, and that's after a bye and one game in a month. The only decent challenge since maybe July 2. Should we lose this match? No. No,
I hope not.
No.
The thing about in finals and having the breaks is that you've just got more time to think about things. I think you waste a lot of nervous energy in any sport when you've got time to think about it. And that's what makes a sport like golf so difficult, because it's a mental battle as much as it is anything, because you've got so much time in between shots. You know, a game like tennis is quite reactionary, and you potentially sometimes your opponent has control over that as well in terms of how he's playing, but the ball comes to him, you don't have time to really think. Of course you can get a bit tight in big moments, but you're very reactionary. Golf and football I think is a bit the same. When you get to this point, if you've got an extra week, all it is that younger players are playing the game over and over in their head and thinking, oh, what if this happens, and what if we do that, and what if we win? And I think you waste a lot of nervous energy doing that. But Geelong have hopefully got the experience to actually counter that. They've learned some lessons over previous years, and I mean, they couldn't be in any better shape to be going into the finals than they are.
Foxdog 50, King and Benny, just wondering your thoughts on Gary Rowan playing this final. Without a doubt, Rowan has one of the worst finals records. Win or lose, if he has another poor finals game against Collingwood, surely we couldn't give him another chance playing again. P.S. I hope he can have a blinder.
So do I. He's a key player. He doesn't get a lot of possession, but he can do that thing that turns a game, be it offensively or defensively. He's got explosive speed that can be used in a variety of ways, and I mean, look, he's in their team. He's no way known. I mean, this is, I think, from memory, Kingy, this is the issue that I think last year that the coach and Matthew Scales had an issue with post the preliminary final, that Rowan was played at halfback last year in that prelim.
He got subbed off. Subbed on. He came on as a sub.
And went into the defence.
Yeah. When he came on as a sub.
Yeah, and he'd never played in defence. So I think that was part of the angst.
Didn't he go back? Didn't he spend some of the Port Adelaide qualifying final back?
Oh, I don't know about that. Anyway, it was a big game, and he went. And I think I believe that was the root of the little sort of tete-a-tete between the coach and Matthew Scarlett.
Yep.
Because Matthew Scarlett didn't want Gary Rowan playing defence.
Yep.
So the other thing too, Kingy, is that, and I hate to bring up, you know, things that have happened. If there has been a theme with the Cats, every now and then in the finals they've crapped themselves. We've spoken about that. There has also been some few head-scratching selections.
Well, Stanley left out of that final. Was it a qualifying final against Collingwood in 2019?
Yes.
Dan Menzel.
Left out.
Left out in 2019.
There's been a few of them.
Yep.
And there's also been some head-scratching player positions.
Yep.
I remember the one against Sydney when Lachie Henderson had missed, I think, a month or so,
yep.
Came in and played forward, having played in defence all year, and didn't touch the ball in the first half.
Yep. That was a preliminary final.
There has been, let's just hope that everybody plays in the position that they've sort of become accustomed to. They seem to be working really well together. There'd be no need to throw some sort of left field player positional movement into the mix. I wouldn't have thought. Let's hope not. So that's the other thing to watch. So, but Rowan's one of those blokes that can turn a game. He's not going to get it 20 times, but he can turn a game.
But if he gets it 15 or 10,
if he gets
to 15,
it 15, he's having a ripper.
Yeah, and he's kicked three, and you're on your way. Which I think was his prelim final against Brisbane in 2020.
A couple, look, for him, a couple of goals and a couple of crucial pressures that force turnover down the ground.
Yep.
That's a good game for him.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, 3 goals, 1 from 11 touches against Brisbane in the prelim in 2020.
Yep.
Yeah.
What you'd love to see, and I think it's maybe become a bit of a theme, that he is one, and every club has them, but he is one of those players that does tend to get on the coattails when it's all going Geelong's way.
Yep.
You'd love to see him, if it's not, let's hope that's not the case, but if it's not, him do something that turns the game back, the momentum back for them.
G'day, peeps. This is Daz Broncos.
Daz.
I think he's in Atlanta.
Oh, he's always in Atlanta.
A remarkable club, this one. Finished top of the ladder, two games clear. No true home final, but MCG Saturday Arvo allows most Cats supporters a chance to travel. Sands local footy, so I expect a good turnout. Hopefully not like the qualifying final of years past. So just on that ticket sales, it's actually record sales for a Geelong qualifying final to Geelong members. It's more than...
It's up and about, aren't they?
Yep, yep. Credit to the players,
up
coaches...
and about. And fitness. You've been up and about?
Yes, I have been, Benny, getting to where
Which
we
one?
Are. Grand final day 2012, I was up and about. Calling the Swans winning a flag was pretty nice.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to tell us something might have happened on that night or something?
So question is, with 26 that have legit claims to a spot in the 23, who missed out? For mine, Zathri plays over Mark O'Connor, but it's a tough call.
Yeah.
Do we think Chris Scott will pull a late change like Stanley out because of the late rain that never came? Or do you think we are done with those type of moves? Well, Benny just addressed that.
Mm. Let's hope we're done with them.
Have a great call, but seeing this weekend is the most boring buy of all time. What will you blokes be doing? Well, we're calling two GFL games this weekend. We've got the GFL qualifying and elimination finals. Newtown and Colac Saturday. And then Benny's beloved St. Joseph's and Leopold on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll try and get up to that. I'm going to... Charlie Rose is running on Saturday at Caulfield.
Is she?
In the Heatherly.
What does this mean for Charlie Rose if she wins?
Well, I don't think she'll win.
Okay, what does it mean for her preparation for
She goes into the naturalism the first in 3 weeks' time.
And yes. And
so the naturalism is you win that, it's an automatic...
Ballot exempt.
For the Caulfield Cup.
Yep.
Which I... Anyway, she just wanted to see some improvement. She was a little disappointing first up.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to see a bit of...
She owes you nothing though, Benny.
No, she's won nearly $1 million, so... Zara's on board again. So anyway, I'll be at Caulfield on on Saturday. And nice. Yeah, hopefully go and see St. Joey's a little weather space to hopefully we see the weather turn on the weekend too, Kingy. 19 on Saturday.
Yes.
19. Yes. Like 13.
PS, more late show references.
Oh.
What about Daz's story?
I know, Daz Broncos.
Tell us do you remember it? That you tweeted back about because we had like
his mate must have worked on the late show.
Yeah, and Daz got you mentioned the credits.
He did. He texted Daz to ask.
Text? This is the early 90s.
Oh, well, he rang him or he did say he sent up a smoke signal. He sent over a carrier pigeon.
It was a new pope.
He did. He fanned some sort of smoke out of a teepee that ended up in Daz's land room asking for...
He needed info on something, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. What are you eating, by the way?
I'm eating some sort of a yellow sherbet. It's quite extraordinary. It's like it's a sensory experience.
It's like there's a party in your mouth and everybody's invited.
Yeah, I think I don't know about
to steal a lot. Do you know what? That's the flaming mo.
Is it?
That was the line. Yeah, it's like there's a party in my mouth and everybody's invited.
Well, it's like Mo's Tavern.
Yeah,
when Mo asked, hands up who he's not drinking, and they. Who the designated drivers did you tell him to get out? Yeah. Didn't want freeloaders.
Red Hot Chili Peppers playing.
Mm-hmm.
We love Chili Willy.
Oh, Flea. He wasn't for about 14 seconds. He once flew over Melbourne.
No, he was born in Canberra. Oh, he was born in Canberra, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he acknowledges his Australian background.
Yeah, of course he does.
I was going to say he acknowledges his
he
Australian.
Played in the nude at Woodstock 99, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so.
Didn't they play a gig with just socks? Covering their...
Did they?
Yeah. Is that true? Oh, no, they played a gig in their jocks.
Big walk socks. Was it more your slimline office arrangement?
Those old golf socks that the old blokes still wear.
Big bear grills, yeah. Those ones that comes up to your knees.
More late show references. Yeah, we'll come up with some. Yeah.
Anyway, Daz's mate asked him for what would someone say in this... You know, what would there be a line for something? And Daz provided the line and then the guy and then he got into the credits. Some of that late show stuff was Tony and Mick used to go interviewing and they went interviewing when the man won the beauty contest on the Gold Coast.
Right.
He won it. And I don't know if you'd get on the TV now
some of the stuff
went down there.
That's up there with the time I actually, a mate of mine's probably the loose term, bloke I knew who I'd done some work with made an album and cut a CD and I was thanked in the liner notes. I was the last thank you.
It wasn't Gregorian chants, was it?
No. Bonus question, PPS. Mm. Whom from Geelong should make the All-Australian team? So five in the squad, Blitzarves, Stewart, Hawkins, Cameron and Stengel.
I think Cam Guthrie's been unlucky.
Not to be, and considering they pushed it out to 44.
Mm.
There's whisper going around they're going to name a second team. Surely that's
who
not
wants
right.
to be in that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Blitzarves makes it.
No, I agree with
that. But I think the other four do.
He's had a very good year, but as a midfielder, he's not as dynamic as some of them, but he's had, in terms of the role he plays for Geelong, he's very, very good and he's very important. But I think there are midfielders that are actually better than him. And I want the All-Australian team to be picked on, you know, some just sort of, in some respects, pure talent. Players you'd like to go and watch who are at the best at their position. Yeah. And Blitzarves is a very good player. He ain't the best midfielder in the competition.
So do you put him on the bench? Knowing he gives you the flexibility. He can play defensively.
This team's not playing anyone, so we don't need to. Are they going to have a medical sub?
No.
So let's not have a team that's pretending we're going to play anybody. Let's just pick the players who are actually the best in their position. Blokes you would go and pay and see. And Mark Blitzarves is great. Would I go and pay just to see Mark Blitzarves? Probably not.
Hawkins.
He's in, yeah.
Cameron.
Yes. Stengel, yes.
Where do they go? Does Cameron go to centre half forward because he's played that higher role?
Half forward flank. He's a half forward flank. He's a giant half forward flank.
Kuno full forward. As the Coleman medalist?
Oh, no, I think Curnow's more
centre half forward?
Yeah.
And then Hawkins goes into full forward?
Yes.
Stewart, does the 4-week suspension hurt him?
No, I think he still goes in.
Into a back pocket?
Yep.
Yeah, and Stengel?
Forward pocket.
Or on the bench?
Yeah, one of the other.
Cameron finished a goal in front. Fritsch will take one of the small forward roles?
I think Stengel's had a much better year than Fritsch. I reckon Fritsch has had...
Fritsch kicked 50.
Yeah, I know.
Weight and numbers might get you there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, 50 goals, did he? Yeah. I thought he had that average, should he? I reckon he kicked a lot of those in bursts. I reckon he had some games where he's pretty quiet. Yeah, but anyway, look, it doesn't really matter. I honestly, it's great, but I couldn't care less who gets in the All-Australian team, really. It's just a meaningless awards night where AFL is able to beat its chest.
So you talked about Fritsch kicking them in bursts. Mm. Fritsch kicked a goal in every game this year. He kicked no more than 4.
Yeah, right, well, I got that wrong.
So he's consistent as hell.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Well, there you go, I take all that back. No, he should be just in the All-Australian team by himself. He should be the only player in it. No, I don't get into all that, like those awards nights. You know, like that who's better? Oh, who's better? I don't care. I don't really, you know, who's better, Gary Ablett or Wayne Carey? I don't care.
Howler 41, well, the Alf Stewart home and away season is done. That's very good from Howler 41. If you told me in March the Cats would have been top of the ladder, I'd have suggested you'd got your tea leaves off Cheech and Chong. Just a clinical performance on the weekend. We punished turnovers like I like to punish a red can. So he must be a Melbourne drinker.
Mm-hmm. Or two is red.
The Ford mix is a perfect at the moment. The Smalls of Close, Stengel and Myers sound like an accounting firm, but have got a real chemistry. There's no excuses for the Cats. Our bottom six haven't been stronger since 2011, and there'll be two or three that miss out. We'll be stiff, rigor mortis style. We don't need to change anything. The opposition will worry about us. Key players are well rested. We are hungry. Let's go get it, starting with the swoopy boys at the G.
Yeah, I agree with all that. 100%. Bring it on. It's been a pretty good year. Oh, it's been more than a pretty good year. It's been an unbelievable year, really, especially when you don't expect it. It's sort of the excitement of footy when things come from slightly, you know, left field to a degree. And while Geelong were expected to play finals, the way they've played has been a little bit from left field. They've been able to transform themselves with DeConing and Stengel and Atkins and
Holmes.
You know, Cameron playing well, Holmes taking another step. You know, their senior players are all playing consistently. They have no reliance on one or two players to get the job done. They've got...
Well, okay, if somebody had said Paddy Dangerfield's had the year he's had...
He's been disappointed. He's probably overall, he's had what you would classify by his lofty standards as a disappointing year.
Because of the injuries. Yeah. That hasn't helped. So he's had no continuity with his footy. But if you had said that Patrick Dangerfield was only going to play, I think he's played 14 or 15, and Geelong were going to be on top of the ladder two games clear, so that's not happening.
Probably not. And the thing, I mean, we saw a snapshot of Patrick Dangerfield against West Coast in that he, 300th game, he started the game like a house on fire. He had 10 possessions in the first quarter. He only touched the ball 12 more times for the game.
Mm.
And that's with Guthrie going out. So he probably got a little bit more time in the midfield. but he's able to play in bursts, and even within games now, he's not able to sustain it the way he plays, even across a game, let alone a season. So let's just hope he can get it right for the finals. He'd be one that I think would benefit from, you know, winning and then having the week off and then playing again.
Yep.
He's one that would really benefit from that. So, but he's just not the player he used to be.
No.
But they've got, I mean, if you just look at it, they've got Cameron and Hawkins up forward. They've got De Koning.
Stewart,
Colajesny. I don't know, some are saying Colajesny may not get a game.
Henry.
He might go out because of matchups. Henry, they've got a solid defence. They've got a midfield that's suddenly thrown into the mix with Atkins, Guthrie, Selwood, Dangerfield.
So who's going to who defence? Wouldn't Colajesny be a good matchup for Mychek?
I would have thought he would be, yes. He's a lock-on defender, and he just plays his role. He's not going to be asked to get the ball.
De Koning goes to Ash Johnson?
Yes, probably.
Buse to Ginnivan?
Oh, I'd have Buse on Elliott.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who played on Buse when Geelong... who played on Buse? Who played on Elliott when Geelong played Collingwood the first time around?
Would have been Buse, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. He'd have to roll the tape, but yeah. I thought Buse's a good matchup for Elliott. I reckon Jack Henry's probably a good matchup for Ginnivan.
Yep.
I think Colajesny is a good matchup for Mychek. De Koning, he's probably slightly the odd one out. They don't have
Cameron.
I mean, when Cameron goes there, yes.
Yep.
But he'll go into the ruck, and when Cox goes there, De Koning.
Yep.
So that's his matchup. I think you back him. He's 204 De Koning, so he's not far off those.
Pendlebury has owned the Cats over the journey. Yeah, he's been allowed easy football.
Geelong won't tag.
No, they won't tag, but they've just got to be mindful. They just can't let Pendlebury play that role where he just racks it up.
Taylor Adams comes back in.
Not necessarily. He's not a dead cert to play.
Right.
I know it's still 10 days away, but even he, when he did some media, said he's no certainty. Yeah.
The two you've got to watch, I think, the Dacos boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good ball users. Absolutely unbelievable, left and right.
See, that's where...
Crisp and Maynard are very underrated.
Yep. Crisp is a gun.
So they'll have Moore will probably go to Cameron.
Yep. Athletic.
And they might put Murphy.
Yep.
28.
Nathan Murphy.
He's actually been in pretty good form, to be honest with you. He's actually been good. So Murphy probably goes to Cameron. And then I don't know what they do with Moore. I don't know who plays on Hawkins.
That's where Geelong might be able to get an advantage.
Well, they might try Murphy on Hawkins. You'd like that matchup for Geelong. And then Moore on Cameron. But
Moore's not going to go all the way up the ground with Cameron. Moore likes to stay back inside 50. Cameron could see a lot of ball across half forward.
Mm.
Up the ground, especially on the G, he could see it between wing and half forward. Moore's not going to go. Moore won't follow all the way up because Moore will be conscious of the fact that he needs to be back when the ball comes in for Hawkins to be able to
get across. Yeah, well, that's true. I just think if you're doing the matchups at home, you're playing along at home on paper. And I know the game isn't played on paper, but Geelong seem to have bases covered. For Collingwood, you're thinking, who's going here? Who's going to go here? Both back and forward. And even in the midfield, Adams doesn't play. You'd think Geelong have an advantage there in terms of depth and talent. So there's not a base where you're thinking Collingwood have a clear advantage here, Geelong might have an advantage here. You're thinking Geelong certainly has a clear advantage up forward, I think has plenty of options down back and an advantage there, and I think they have not a huge advantage but a slight advantage in the midfield. So let's hope that all plays out for a Cat victory, but stranger things have happened, Kingy.
Stanley or Segler?
Oh, it has to be Stanley. Stegler was good. I mean, he was really good. And if he has to come in for a final, where you think, okay, we've got someone there who's competent. I mean, he had 10 clearances against West Coast. I mean, it was only West Coast, but he was good. Threw himself in, but you'd have to go with Stanley. He's been there all year. If he's right, the only thing I'd say is if Stanley isn't right and he's going in at 85%, don't play him. You know, make sure he's 100. Otherwise, play Stegler. Yep.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, King. You're looking forward to it Saturday. Twilight, 3 o'clock, we'll be on air and we'll have some extraordinary guests.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.